What's good, everybody? It's that time once again, or well, it's actually late, but nonetheless, Touchdowns and Tangents, live from the Good News Radio Station. I am PD Camarillo.
Woo! I'm Kenneth Barry.
It's Serv.
And intern Serv in the house. Shout out to you. Shout out to my boy Kenny for finally graduating.
Doing his paper right now.
Yeah, fun fact. I was just going to wait till the show to say that. But yeah, apparently, depending on what grade I get, they're going to recount my units. And I might actually just be done as of Sunday. And if that's the case, a Vegas run is happening soon. Sooner than later. Shout out to Keith. Yes, I will invest and save half of it. But some niggardry is happening this summer. Oh. Some fuckeration.
Wow.
Sorry.
Can you say that?
I said it. Legal's like, you know what? You've earned it. You've been really good for the past 2 months.
But yeah, man. On that note, this is your weekly spot for NFL takes, topical tangents,
like,
and whatever
burning
pettiness Kenny's blasphemy burning on.
Yep, like Norm's having unlimited bottomless apps.
Yeah,
that
man.
That includes chicken tenders.
And shout out to Asian spots that have wings and or wings.
That's like most
wing
spot
Asian owned
spots
by Asians.
We might have to hit Norm's after the show. I'm starving.
We
fun
sleep
fact,
on wings a lot.
Fun fact, most likely if you go to a Korean spot, they're going to have fried chicken because that's what they're known for.
So, and they're actually pretty fire. Yeah.
So are like Koreans the original culture vultures?
No,
chicken?
I mean, nah. I don't think so.
Nah.
Because
they
kind of
do it their
out.
Own way.
Yeah, they figured out. When I went to Japan and I had their chicken, it's delicious.
Korean spiced fried chicken. So, I've seen my chef make it. That shit is special.
Yeah, man.
It's actually how I,
yeah,
it's like,
shout out to Wings World right here on Venice. It was actually pretty fire.
Were there any boneless wings?
Again, we went over this last week when you didn't want to go there and dragged me to bum-ass Wendy's.
No, you didn't want to go there.
And shout out to Wings to Go on Crenshaw and Inglewood.
Oh,
flight.
That one's
what good. Is it called?
Wings to Go.
Oh, yeah.
By
that
bum-ass Papa
John's.
Yeah.
Yes. No, my boy took me there. That shit is actually fire, too.
Flight. Lemon pepper hot. Extra wet.
Ain't no lemon pepper.
That's what he said.
But yeah, man, last week, you know, the whole Wendy's thing kind of bummed us out. And we were just in a somber, sad mood.
And then
we actually left out a lot of good news stuff that actually happened last week.
Yep.
So I want to shout some of that stuff out before we get into the real thick of the content. Just because I'd like to we did enough feeling sorry for ourselves last week. So I'd like to, you know, start on a higher note this week. So, yeah, man, shout out to Michael Thomas. He actually built a ramp for Jerry Hills, who lost his left leg. He did that last week, so shout out to him. Shout out to Zeke from the Cowboys. He paid for a funeral for an eighth grader who passed away.
The eighth grader was one of the top high school players. He actually got hit with a stray bullet outside of a graduation party. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it was pretty tragic. But yeah, shout out to Zeke, man, for, you know, at least helping that young man, you know, get the ceremony he deserves. And lastly, shout out to Greg Olsen, who donated $2.5 million with an M to Pediatric Cardiac Center. So pretty much helping kids, you know, with heart disease. So. Again, man.
That's dope.
Yeah, not everything in the NFL is all PEDs and IG beef and Twitter beef. You know, there's a lot of athletes who do good, especially this time of the year when it's, you know, kind of winding down. Or actually, it's actually going to start back up right now. You know, there was rookie camp this week, some voluntary workouts. So.
And that young man's name was Jalen McKenzie. He actually was a. Had been on, like, SI and a couple other magazines. He was literally one of the top players as a freshman. It's weird that they have middle school rankings now, but he was, like, one of the top guys.
But, yeah, so on that note, let's talk about it, man. First up, we got the whole Jets fiasco. Do you want to give a brief synopsis of that whole situation as only you can do it?
So the Jets and their infinite stupidity. I'm just gonna say, because I don't want to say his whole name, but it's something McMackenberger.
Yeah. McMackenwhite.
His name is Jace.
McMackenwhite.
McMacklemore. That's
his name. McMacklemore.
Jace McMacklemore. They're
Macla Yellow Wolf.
Macla Yellow Wolf. Yeah.
I tried.
First name Paul Wall, last name. No, I'm just kidding. Paul Wall's cool.
McLil Dicky.
Yeah, we're going to table
I'm
that
checking
one.
Out right now. Okay, go ahead. Pause. Continue.
You're making me forget the one white dude's name I want to say. Bubba Sparks. Never mind. But it was Bubba Sparks. But anyway, so the Jets fired their GM, who pretty much was allowed to give Le'Veon Bell a fat contract, trade Darren Lee to the Kansas City Chiefs for a 6th-round pick, even though he was a 1st-round pick in 2016.
No, I don't think he did the trade. I think that he got fired before
the
trade. Yeah.
Okay. But
so the trade, he was already shopping him, though. Yeah, but
okay,
yeah.
But the fact that they let him pick, I mean, Quinton Williams was a great pick, but they let him run the draft. And then they fired him after he...
The draft said. And free most of free agency, the first wave of free agency.
And then they fired him.
Basically giving out major guaranteed deals to both C.J. Mosley and Le'Veon Bell, which...
He also gave a huge deal to Tremon Johnson, or Tremon...
From the Chargers?
No, former corner. Former Rams corner. Trumaine Johnson, there we go.
Oh, yeah. That was last year.
He played at Montana, and... played free safety and corner, but became a better corner, obviously, with the Rams.
But, yeah, just I mean, I want to talk more about Le'Veon Bell, but before I even get to that, just to give you a little bit of an idea of kind of, like, the timeline, I think, so here it is, Albert Breer tweeted out. So, 4:30, so on... Basically, these are the timings of GM and vice president firing since the conclusion of the season. So on 4:30, 2017, the Bills fired Doug Whaley. 6:22:17, the Chiefs fired John Dorsey. 7:17:17, the Panthers fired David Gettleman. 12:07:17, the Browns fired Sashi Brown. 12:10:18, the Raiders fired Reggie McKenzie. 12:31:18, the Dolphins fired Mike Tannenbaum. And now here we are, 5:15:19, the Jets fire Mike McGlinchey. So the reason why I brought that up is you can just see, like, one, the two teams that made this type of move this past season did it 5 months ago. Two, outside of the Bills doing it, in 2017, right around the draft, if it does come, it usually comes farther after the draft, you know, when the roster is more kind of already set. And so basically, it's just an awkward time that they did it. Like, it's like, it really makes no sense.
Yeah, like, and Quinton Williams was a great first pick. So you can't really be mad at the Jets.
They actually had a pretty, I thought they had a pretty decent draft.
Yeah, so you can't really fault them for that. But I guess they trusted him enough. They needed C.J. Mosley. They needed Le'Veon Bell. They're getting rid of Darren Lee, who honestly is probably going to be a better fit in a 4-3 scheme with the Chiefs. By the way, RIP to Gunther Cunningham, former Chiefs defensive coordinator. He died. He also had a couple. He worked at all over the NFL over like 30 years of NFL experience. But anyway, you look at that offense. It's looking kind of bare on offense, I'm not going to lie.
Well, also in the draft, they got Polite out of Florida in the 3rd round.
Yeah.
And they also got your boy Chuma Edoga, also in the 3rd round.
Yeah, solid right tackle prospect.
Which both those guys were in the 2nd round, so they got a pretty solid value there.
And Chuma was a 5-star pick coming out of high school.
As are most USC guys, but that doesn't always translate. But we don't need.
It almost never translates.
Wow!
Can we be honest? Can we be honest? I've always, since USC days, I mean, like, Clay Matthews wasn't a 5-star recruit. He was a walk-on. So, there you go.
But, yeah, the Jets are a mess, and it's not really a surprise because the whole state of New York is basically in disarray since, well, they lost Zion in the draft lottery, which was rigged, but we won't. This ain't an NBA podcast.
It's not, but we know.
And the Giants are a mess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, the memes have been great. That whole meme of the Duke athlete that they wanted.
Versus the Duke athlete they got.
Daniel Jones. And then also even the two Spider-Man memes, which I posted on TDT's underscore tangents Instagram. Which is basically the two Spider-Mans, the Jets and the Giants, just looking at each other like, who's more dysfunctional?
And the Bills are just in the background.
And you still haven't seen Infinity War, huh?
Nah, bro.
You got work tomorrow? We might go see that shit right now. I'm getting over this shit.
I have to drop off a book at school tomorrow.
Wait, you haven't seen Infinity War?
No, he's a culture vulture.
I have finals.
Endgame.
Wait.
I haven't had time.
You haven't seen Infinity War? You haven't seen Endgame?
Endgame.
Oh, I haven't seen Endgame. I've seen Infinity
War. That's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I meant. I was like, wait. Because I got an AMC gift card. Bro, even
so do I. I have an AMC gift card. I'm trying to get that free popcorn voucher for a year, but they were bullshitting with the app online, so it didn't work.
Set 3 hours of your day. Doesn't
matter
what you
do. I have 3 hours of my day.
Take those 3 hours away that you use to sleep and then go watch the movie.
For real. It's not like you're posting on Anchor or Medium.
Wow. Ooh. That was spicy and unnecessary. Because you haven't posted on Anchor in a minute. I was the last person to post on Anchor.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Anyways.
You've used no sound effects this whole episode. I'm disgusted.
Ask yourself, has anything really been soundbite worthy?
That's when you would put a sound effect after what you just said. It's supposed to be professionals, Pete. Come on, man. We're not at Wendy's. And I haven't eaten at all.
Bro,
today.
We literally had these same sounds on our phone. I don't think these sounds make us professional.
Shout out
or not.
To Wendy's because in July they're bringing back spicy nuggets.
Because Chance the Rapper did a rollout for his album with them.
Yes. Doesn't matter. They're bringing back spicy nuggets. Good marketing for
Wendy's. That's culture vulture. That's culture vulture 101 because they use Chance the Rapper.
But if you think
about it,
it's like what they're doing with Taco Bell nacho fries. Like they come in with limited time and they know that people want nacho fries and they're doing it for a limited time.
I'm still waiting for the beefy Frito burrito to come back. The spicy beefy Frito burrito. That shit was flying.
And it
tripping.
And it finally comes out.
You tripping. You tripping.
You lost me.
You tripping.
We were talking about some good stuff, and then here you go.
You want to talk about pizza eating habits? Let's talk about it.
All right. Also, on today's, trending, whatever you want to talk
about. The docket.
Docket. That's the word. That's exactly the word I was looking for. I'm mad that you read my mind.
Yeah.
So, Patrick Peterson.
You're writing a paper for your life.
Cardinals All-Pro corner. Caught a suspension for 6 games. PEDs. It came down, I think, pretty much today. And
he's not fighting it.
Yeah, he's not fighting it. Did it say what he took?
I didn't see where it said what he took, but it was probably just like. Most of the time, it's something that's legal, and there's something in the legal substance that triggers a false positive. Or it's something that's legal. It's something that's not illegal, but it's not on the list for you to take. And that's what happens a lot of the times.
Yeah, in the article I'm reading, it doesn't really say what he took, but it does say that this suspension will cost him $3.8 million of his $11 million base salary.
And 6 games. But honestly, probably.
In an already aging career.
And honestly, he's made the Pro Bowl every year.
And they might be out of it 6 games in. And I think the trade deadline is like week 8, so.
Which is interesting because
not really
going to
make his career even more wasteful in Arizona, man.
Yeah, because like between him.
How do you just waste a generational corner and a generational receiver? I guess only the Cardinals can answer that, huh?
You know, and the Vikings. Nah, they really waste Randy Moss. Mike Tice kind of did. I blame Mike Tice.
Really? Because they blame Danny Green.
Wow. That was disrespectful. And I'm mad that you, like, leaned away from the mic just to say that. That was petty. Mike Tyson's the one who blew that 6-0, that 6-0 record. He was the head coach during that time. I blame Mike Tyson and Tom Cable for so many failures that have impacted my life as a Raiders fan.
But back on Peterson, so Dan Graziano from ESPN basically sent out a tweet saying that even though typically first-time offenders catch 4 games, reason why there are clauses that allow that first-time offense to stretch to 6 games. One of them, he highlights, a first-time PED offender could be suspended 6 games instead of 4 would be a non-analytical positive, meaning a finding of a PED violation through means other than a drug test. So I'm assuming he got caught with something? Like, how else do you get caught without a drug test?
Or a prescription that was illegal? I mean, Deion Jordan got popped on. I guess he was either taking Adderall or he was taking Adderall to study up on how to not fail another drug test. And that's why he got 10 games. He's a free agent.
Yeah, but Adderall is a whole other thing, which we can get to later. Next up, Hard Knocks. So pretty much it was reported this week that the 49ers will not be featured in Hard Knocks this upcoming training camp, which narrows it down to only 4 teams that have the same head coach and whatever other criteria it is for Hard Knocks. The Giants, the Raiders, the Lions, and the Redskins would be the 4. So, I think one of the other stipulations was you haven't been on it in like 10 years. So, what do you make of those 4? Who would you like to see? Who would you not like to see?
They should just put the Lions on.
What so else? We could all not watch it?
Yeah.
Who would we watch on the Lions? Who would be the storyline? Mm-hmm. Their linemen?
Stafford? Yeah. Kerryon Johnson?
Yes.
So
let's just cross them out.
Who was their first round pick? They even have a first round pick? It just has to be the Lions. They're the most irrelevant team in the league. People have to, like, care about that division again.
The more I think about it, it probably is going to be the Raiders just because they are already such a dumpster fire. Might as well throw that
of controversy
bullshit on top of it. I actually read a column from 10-year Bleacher Report basically saying that Hard Knocks would be the ultimate test for the Raiders because it's essentially throwing the spotlight on all these personalities and seeing if they can handle the pressure early or not. And they cited kind of basically last year with the Cleveland Browns how the Hard Knocks kind of shed light on some of their internal issues with Hugh Jackson and other people. And so that's kind of like why they were able to move away from Hugh Jackson so early, because all that added pressure of having HBO following your every move already started to rattle the Browns. But yeah, man, because honestly, I mean, it would be cool to see Eli's kind of last season, Saquon's ascension, the post-Odell era. But honestly, the Giants are trash, so why even waste my time watching that?
Yeah, and Landon Collins pretty much said they had a problem with Odell the moment he stepped in the building.
And the Redskins, the Deadskins. Yeah, crickets.
That would actually be a decent showing. Most of the offensive line was hurt last year.
What, just a bunch of
Dwayne Haskins? They just built
a bunch of injuries, a bunch of rehab scenes.
Showing Dwayne
The whole trainers would be the star of the show.
The last time the Deadskins were on Hard Knocks, D'Angelo Hall literally broke his ankle because he got crossed by DeAndre Hopkins.
Or Jay Gruden's just going to make his broadcasting career from when he gets fired midseason. He'll be able to go on College Game Day.
He's
going to
talk about how great his time was
on Hard Knocks.
No,
he's going to build his brand, get his followers.
No, as an Arena League football coach, and talk about how they might pluck a guy from one of those leagues. Because the NFL loves to shit on, like, its competition. Okay.
All right, man. So on that note, let's switch it up. Let's go ahead and move into touchdown and turnover. We're moving right along today. I like this, you being halfway in the podcast. I can actually, you know, move through stuff without you circling back on it four times.
I'm having severe writer's block. This is not funny.
All right, man. So first up, we got Take Your Tangent. So your boy, Big Ben Roethlisberger, who you've talked about on this show. Too many times.
Should have a jacket on his collar, but he doesn't. But Mike Vick somehow, never mind.
So, basically, Juju Smith-Schuster posted a video of Big Ben and a bunch of his teammates essentially going out, hanging out on a boat. And even before that, there were a couple reports saying that Big Ben has been hearing that all the criticism he's been getting about how he's been as a teammate, as a leader, really over the entire duration of his career. And apparently he's making changes. We already talked about how he canceled his radio show. Now he's reaching out, taking his guys on a boat. So do you got a take or a tangent on Big Ben changing?
Damage control. Part of it is probably a PR stunt to repair his image. I mean, his wife is an elementary school teacher, if I'm not mistaken. And also the other part is, like, I wish Aaron Rodgers would do something like this.
See, that's what I was going to say, because that's where I was going to take it, is like, as much as I would say, like, yeah, it's probably just a PR stunt, we also don't see Aaron Rodgers, who also kind of went under this similar scrutiny from old ex-Mad football players. That should be a role, like, on someone's album, skit. Mad football player. We've had the Mad rapper.
I volunteer.
Done a lot.
I volunteer tribute. I volunteer. I'll do it. I got 17 drops right now. I could just talk about my junior year and senior years alone.
Point is, I think this is Big Ben genuinely taking in the criticism, because I think he realizes, one, like, the wheels fell off that team, and he's the last man standing. So he has a lot of blame there for that team never getting over the hump. One. And two, he's getting older and probably realizes that the guys who he won a Super Bowl with. Does he have two? Yeah, he won two, right?
He won two.
Yeah, so all the people he won two Super Bowl with, none of them are there. And I think he realizes that he actually needs to be the bridge and stop being a dickhead.
At least that's what
we hope, man.
Be the bridge builder, not the bridge burner.
Exactly, man. Sometimes it takes to 37 to grow up.
So, Joe Budden?
But, yeah, pretty much. To be determined.
Oh, wow.
Either way, at least Big Ben is seemingly taking steps away from being a D-bag.
Stop calling a grown man Big Ben.
That's his nickname.
Yeah, but he's Ben Roethlisberger.
Whatever.
Like, what's Eli's nickname?
Okay, so you can give yourself a nickname calling yourself a legend, but I can't call Big Ben, who, as he's been called for 15 years.
No, I'm just
like,
I'm just tired of him.
He's a 6'8 dude. Like, he's a big, ass dude.
He's not 6'8. He's okay. Like 6'5, 277. He's the big burly one.
Okay, 6'5 with 3-inch cleats on. What is that?
Wow.
6'8. That's what I thought. Shut your ass up.
First off, he doesn't have 3-inch cleats on. Because he wouldn't be that mobile in the pocket. He probably has, like, something light.
3 inches is light, because 6 is what you play on in grass.
But not everybody. Some people just wear some weird-ass turf variation.
Yeah, that's true.
So he could have that weird-ass turf variation.
Yeah, because I think there's even, like, a 1.5 inch now.
Yeah.
All right, next up, we already kind of talked about Le'Veon. But pretty much,
how come nobody, like, he goes to a team? He was on a team that wanted him, but didn't want to pay him. Now he's on a team that paid him and doesn't really want him. Adam Gase is a...
Can I give the storyline and then you can give your beautiful outline take that you just gave right now?
Yeah, because that was the teaser. I got way more foul shit to say about Adam Gase.
So pretty much the reports came out after this whole Jets firing their GM. One of the reasons why they fired their GM is because they wanted to give Adam Gase more control over player personnel, which doesn't make sense because
how was
Miami
that ever
was
worked?
Trash and it didn't work in Miami. And did he literally just came
it
from
almost
Miami.
Didn't work in New Orleans, but okay.
Point is, one of the reasons why is Gase didn't agree with the GM. One of the things that they reportedly did not agree on was giving Le'Veon Bell a shit ton of money. So Le'Veon Bell went on record and was like, bro, I'm here to win. Like, I don't care if they like me or not. So do you got to take your tangent on Le'Veon Bell already having drama with the Jets?
See, that we're going to stop that narrative right there.
The Jets already having drama with Le'Veon Bell.
No, we're going to stop. It's no. The Jets have drama. Adam Gase is a problem everywhere he goes. And now the star players on the team, the highest paid players on the team, are going to be the fall guys. That is the narrative. That's the reality. But it's spun as, oh, Le'Veon Bell's having another problem. No, Le'Veon Bell agreed to a contract, signed, and he's showing up and he's working
out.
Oh,
yeah, no, I wasn't trying to paint it that way.
No,
Le'Veon
I know
Bell's
you weren't,
not, Le'Veon Bell's not the problem at
that's
all.
That's the optic that most people see when they hear this story. They don't see it as, no, it's Adam Gase making another power grab. It didn't work in Miami.
I think it's definitely some confirmation bias. People who already don't like Le'Veon because he essentially said, I'm not going to hurt my body and my head.
And cognitive
and
dissonance
cost
for people,
myself
yeah.
money.
And cognitive dissonance
for a team that doesn't want to pay me. Long
exactly.
term.
Cognitive dissonance for people who don't want to call out Adam Gase or who don't want to admit that Le'Veon Bell's or the star player or the star running back isn't always the problem. Why don't you go ask some of those Dolphin players how they feel about Adam Gase? And they're in the same division, by the way, the AFC East. Just an FYI.
Speaking of player drama with the front office, Josh Rosen, he basically came out at a press conference at, you know, workouts, saying he pretty much still has not talked to Cardinals GM Stephen Kline. So you got to take or a tangent on that. Bro, stop talking about your ex. Let's start there. One.
No.
Believe
no.
me, I've been there way too many times. It's very self-destructive. You just
got to
move forward.
He got about 2 more weeks to do
it. He got about 2 more weeks. What, once minicamp opens up, he got to let it go?
Bro, once somebody drops, once YG's album drop, I don't want to hear you talking about your ex no more. But what I got to say about that is,
the Cardinals probably aren't even talking to Stephen Kline because they're probably trying to give Cliff Kingsbury the key to the kingdom.
Or they're trying to figure out.
Yeah, you like that alliteration, huh?
Had you not tripped on it, yeah. You tripped on a K or a C. You tripped on a K somewhere. But anyway.
Can you say that legal?
I said K. That's the pronunciation of a C or a K. Or variation.
Can he say CK on the show?
Can I say KC?
He lives on Crenshaw. I don't know.
I'm from East Oakland. We invented gangbanging. Pause. But anyway. If I was Josh Rosen, I would just be like, you know, I don't know where he's at. He's probably driving around in a circle in a parking lot. Oops, too soon? Sorry. DUI, my bad. I forgot. But yeah, it's when it comes to Rosen, yeah, he should totally be honest about how dysfunctional and disrespectful that was. Because it was dysfunctional and disrespectful. And it's when it comes down to that situation, it's like he should be like, look, this is the fresh start I want, and this is the type of communication that I hope to have with the coaches here. Because this is the kind of communication that I dealt with in Arizona from this process with that GM. I would use that moment to big up my GM and my head coach and the owner. If he was a if he wanted to be a real politician about it, I would use it to
Since
big up.
What? The Jets are the only organization with a black head.
No, the Dolphins.
That's what I meant. Yeah, the Dolphins, my bad. With, yeah, the black, with a black black president coach. And a black head coach.
Yeah, black president.
And Reggie McKenzie's also in the front office somewhere in there, too.
But yeah, black GM, black head coach.
I don't think it's GM, but
no,
personnel
the
guy.
Black dude is GM.
I don't think his title is actually GM. It might be VP. But either way, he oversees player personnel.
Yeah.
He's the head of the front office. But yeah, definitely, like you said, it would be a great opportunity to actually give the Dolphins some props for not being as dysfunctional as half of the teams we just talked about.
And the Dolphins have actually a really nice offense and perfect scheme fit for Josh Rosen. Kenyon Drake, Kenny Stills, Devontae Parker, the tight end out of Penn State.
That's like a 7-on-7 offense, though, bro. And like they're definitely that team. They're definitely that team that will go undefeated in passing league and then go 5-4.
Well, it depends on how good they run. Depends how good they run the ball. They
and got, I meant in high school or college, not at 5-4 in the NFL.
Ouch.
Yeah. But that's really who the Jets are. 7-9,
so
I
also
went
to high
eight.
School from a couple years ago? All right, man.
All right. Next up, this is one that I wanted to talk about. So, Matt Barkley, you know, your boy, former SC Trojan, now turned NFL journeyman, bounced around the league a lot. One of his demands when he was going through the process with the Bengals, I think they said the Cardinals, the Bills even, he asked to be played in Bitcoin.
That takes balls.
He's not the first or the only. Russell Kung also actually tweeted, I think it was this week or sometime recently, basically saying, imagine how cool would it be to see a player's salary in BTC. And he pretty much saying that he's part of the Bitcoin movement and anti-bank. So he's on board with that, too. Anyways, you got a take or a tangent on players getting paid in Bitcoin?
Bitcoin has lost, like, I think 30% a huge chunk of its value, like, in the past 6 months.
No, they're back up. It's back up to 8K. Yeah, it was down 3K. It's at 8K today.
I don't know, man. I'm not really too sold on Bitcoin.
Do you even know what Bitcoin is?
I understand it.
What is it?
It's pretty much the form of... Okay, so it's like...
You could just say, I don't really know what it is.
I know what it is, but to explain it, like, it still feels weird. So it's like... Okay, imagine a transaction between me and you, right?
Yeah.
And the name of the currency, whatever we use, we say it's like some form of data mining or some shit like that. Like it's some just we're pretty much it's some data or currency that we agree on, and that holds value between us compared to the dollar.
Yeah, I mean that's
essentially what it is.
That's essentially what it is. That's essentially
shoeshine, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I don't give a shit. You can call it whatever, but it's essentially a transference of currency. Or some form of good that somebody else agrees on.
That's essentially what it is. But the thing that makes it such a big movement and phenomenon right now, especially over the past few years,
because a bunch of rich cats got rich doing it first.
Well, besides that,
to piss off the Rothschilds.
Well, no. Besides that, it's the technology behind the Bitcoin. So Bitcoin is a brand. It's a brand of cryptocurrency. Yeah. It's a type of cryptocurrency. But there are dozens and dozens of it of other alternative coins, Ethereum, Ripple are two of the other bigger ones outside of Bitcoin. And the thing about Bitcoin that makes it so appealing is it is essentially what we value it between me and you, but it's also being served on my server, your server, everyone else's server, so that value is upheld by being verified between us three and the network of other people who that transaction is also on the server. So basically, it's just supposed to be a lot more secure because it is distributed amongst so many other people. It's not one server. It's not one bank being in control of it, it's essentially divvied up between all the people. And yeah. so that kind of goes into the gig economy. That kind of goes into people, you know. There's a lot of elements to it. White people like it. Survivalists, libertarians, security nerds, tech people.
Yeah.
Like you said, people who want to get rich quick because people did all of a sudden get rich off of it.
And pretty much the dollar's the fiat currency. It's going to crash very soon. It's
and the whole World War III and everything else.
No, but like it's literally a fiat currency, and it's not going to last. Like, we literally print money, but we're trillions of dollars in debt. Like, you can't do that. I can't do that.
That's a separate
with my
issue.
Phone bill. But whatever. Anyway. So, chat room.
Shout out to Ryan. She said 400 once you made that YG drop.
400.
Next up.
Ask no questions. Just hold it down.
Next up.
I'm yelling at all graduation.
One thing you already mentioned. Last take or tangent. Deion Jordan, he caught 10 games for Adderall.
Caught a body about a week ago.
PED, do you got a take or a tangent on that? Former.
I don't trust Oregon edge rushers.
Here's my thing on it, man. I feel bad for dude because it seemed like he was essentially getting his life together. He kind of had a down year again after having a good year like 2 years ago. But I felt like he was still going to catch on somewhere and then maybe get one more opportunity to actually get some serious playing time. But now missing more than half a season, I think the reason why it is 10 games because he has previous suspensions for other substance abuses. I don't know if it was Adderall. Point being,
it was Adderall.
I feel bad for no. I'm saying previously.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah.
Because I think he caught one with the Dolphins and stuff too.
He caught several with the Dolphins. Yeah. He was suspended and out for a year because of that.
Yeah, exactly. So pretty much, I just feel bad for dude because it's essentially his living. But I'm sure he'll try to catch on the XFL. That makes it.
Because Daryl Johnston got a job at the XFL.
He did?
Yeah.
Good for him, man. He got blackballed.
Him and Troy Aikman, what?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Daryl Washington, the Cardinals linebacker.
No, not Daryl Washington. No one knows what happened to him, but just know TCU players with drug problems are people you should probably. They usually don't pan out in the NFL. All
right. Next up, we got touchdown to turnover. Let's try and make it quick. This should be quick. Shout out to Mikhail, PG, Courtside Radio, Good News Sports. Dwayne Bowe officially announced his retirement. He hasn't played since 2016, but he re-signed with the Chiefs for a one-day contract.
Why do we keep talking about Kansas City Chiefs on this podcast? It's really starting to upset me.
Don't worry. We got another one coming up. But
yeah,
is that a touchdown or a turnover?
That's a touchdown. Like that one time I think he had 16 touchdown catches or something like that. Dwayne Bowe was nice for a couple of years at LSU.
LSU receiver U?
Nah, he was like the first big.
Didn't he play with someone else too that went to the league?
Yeah, he was like the first big LSU receiver in a while that was good.
Yeah, the thing I was saying.
Early Doucette. Remember Early Doucette?
Yeah. The reason why I'm saying this is a turnover, because, I mean, we talked about it. We talked about Macklin.
Thinking of Michael
Clayton. We talked about Macklin having a retirement a year after he didn't play. For Bo, this is a 2 full seasons going back to the team that essentially cut him.
I thought he retired for real, for real.
Yeah. And you sign a one game to retire with them? Like, bro, you already retired. Macklin didn't even do that. At least he was, you know, doing it at a gender reveal, living his best life. And was like, yeah, fuck football. I'm going to be a family man. Dwayne Bowe's just like, hey, did y'all remember me? Like, hey, remember I paid for the Chiefs?
Jamal Charles did it.
Remember I was a Pro Bowl receiver who didn't have any domestic abuse? That was the wrong button.
Yeah, I know it was. Cause I know I was like, bruh, damn.
Okay. All right, next up, man. The Pats signed Jamie Collins, free agent, former Cleveland Brown, former Patriot. The Patriots traded him.
Patriots traded him to Cleveland because they didn't want to pay him, and then
he got paid, and then the Browns didn't want to pay him, and then they cut him, and now he's back with the Patriots.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Is that a touchdown or turnover?
It's a touchdown for them because now they're going to run a bunch of amoeba coverage. You have him, Kyle Van Noy, and Dante Hightower.
That's so a bunch of athletic dudes who may or may not be game-time decisions.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Bravo. Bravo. That just gave me the strength to write 30 more words. Slowly coming out of this. I literally have like 1,000 words left.
Yeah, I'm also going to say it's a touchdown.
Actually,
because
900.
He's pretty much the best linebacker available at this point. And the Patriots are pretty good at finding veteran bargain bin free agency.
I think Zach Brown signed with the Eagles.
Yeah, he signed a couple weeks ago. All right, next up, another one we already mentioned. The Jets traded Darren Lee to the Chiefs for a sixth-round pick. Is that a touchdown or a turnover for the Chiefs?
It's perfect for the Chiefs because he really is a coverage linebacker and they're running a 4-3.
And he can complement Raglan since, you know, Raglan
can't cover.
Has no speed.
I don't know who the third outside linebacker is, but Darren Lee's an upgrade.
Yeah, for sure.
The dude is converted safety.
Didn't they just draft someone, like, last year or the or
oh,
this
Dorian
year?
Dorian O'Daniel, the dude for Clemson, who's really good. I don't like that linebackers wear numbers in the 40s. It's really gross now.
Nah.
I don't like seeing a 44.
Better than a safety.
I don't.
Except for 42. Safety can wear 42. Outside of that.
Well, Chinnan Ohosu wears 42.
A 47 is nice on a Will linebacker.
I can see 47. I don't want to see a 46.
I think 40's tight. I've always thought 40 tight, but 40, that's probably because
41, 42.
That's probably
because
my cousin's was number 40.
45 is okay trash. I don't care what anyone says. It just only works if you're nice. But yeah, 47.
Yeah, if you're nice, 45 is a scary number.
Yeah,
because it's like, why is he wearing 45? He must
could,
be nice.
He could easily wear 55. He's the best player on their defense. Slash Deion Jones. But yeah. Like 40, 41, 42, 44, and 47. That's what I tolerate. Any other number, you better be a fullback or a running back.
All right.
48 is a trash number.
Yeah, it really is. Next up, EJ Manuel announced his retirement, which another Chiefs tie. He recently signed with the Chiefs to be their backup, and he announced his retirement. So is that a touchdown or a turnover?
I would say it's a touchdown, but it's probably a sack, fumble, or a pick six.
Oh, you're a scumbag.
No, I'm just
Can we just, like, I'm going to say it's a turnover because, like.
One scout had him
bro,
as a tight end.
Did EJ Manuel ever really get a fair shot? He got beat out by Tyrod Taylor, what, his first or second year? And outside
that
of that,
black on black crime or no?
Outside of that, he was pretty much the fallout from Christian Ponder. So it was like
he actually played good as a Raiders backup. He should have stayed.
And he was actually not the problem that year that Derek Carr was hurt. He should have stayed.
He almost beat Denver.
But John Gruden's never mind.
John Gruden vormeered him.
Never mind. All right. That's it for touchdown and turnover. So the last thing I want to do, since we actually have some time, NFL Network did a list pretty much ranking the top 20 players who got traded in their prime. Some of the highlights, number 6, your boy Marshawn Beast Mode Lynch, traded from the Bills to the Seahawks. Number 11, your boy Randy Moss, traded multiple times in his prime. And number 20, Khalil Mack. Other highlights. Let's see. Jerome Bettis, traded from the Rams to the Steelers in 1996. Shout out to the Ramley.
Shout out to Jackie Ramley.
Frank Tarkenton from the Vikings to the Giants.
Frank Tarkenton.
In 1967, Willie Brown from the Broncos to the Raiders, 1967. Champ Bailey from the Redskins to the Broncos.
Clinton Porter, same
in 2004, trade. Same trade. Charles Haley from the 49ers to the Cowboys. 1992, Ted Hendricks from the Colts to the Packers and the Packers to the Raiders the next year. And number two, and I would probably say this is my biggest one, when the Colts gave up on Marshall Faulk, I'm sorry, let me put some respect on that man's name, from the Colts to the Rams in 1999. Damn, Rams, y'all just really don't like running backs, huh? How you trade two Hall of Fame running backs in their prime, 3 years apart?
We count Steven Jackson?
Well, they didn't trade him.
Oh, yeah, you cut him. Oh, Jerome Bettis and Marshall Faulk. That's wild. That's really wild.
Dude.
Like, there should be like, a 30 for 30
is there
on
a team?
That.
Is there a team that has five Hall of Fame running backs?
In consecutive decades?
Yeah. That's
Bettis,
pretty crazy.
Faulk.
Don't forget ED.
Yeah. Dickerson.
Jackson and now Gurley.
That's wild.
And still got no rings to show for it.
Except Marshall Faulk. I
was talking about the LA Rams, but yeah, you're right. Technically, you're right, but logically, you're not. Because the only team to win a Super Bowl in this city, oh, yeah, the Oakland Raiders. Or the Raiders.
The Oakland Raiders of Los Angeles.
The Oakland Raiders of Los Angeles. All right, any other trades in their prime you want to highlight or anything else you want to say on that list?
Richard Seymour technically had some years
that
left.
Was a good one. Yeah, that was a good one. He was still in his. He would have still been in his prime if you know he would have kept playing.
Yeah.
I think Khalil Mack is probably higher than 20, but I think because it's so new, it's kind of hard to say.
I got one for you that might be shocked. What about
Dwayne
Brown?
Didn't Reggie White get traded too?
He's a free agent. What about Dwayne Brown from the Texans to the Seahawks for essentially no reason?
But he was. I don't know if he's in his prime.
He's still playing now.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd say in his prime, though.
It was kind of... They
he's
traded
definitely
him,
at
only
the plateau.
Him for the pro, they only
he's
traded
definitely
him for the protest.
At the plateau of his career.
But they only traded him for the protest. Like, he was still good.
Yeah, I'm sure. All right. So, it's that time. Time for our unnecessary toughness rants. So, we had a special request coming into this show.
I feel like she should close. Should she close it or should she start it?
No, I think she should definitely start it because she's been quiet. So, serve. You know how it goes.
Balls in your
floor is yours. So, I know you got something in your brain on. So, go ahead and talk. I'm going to mute the other mic so you can can speak on the issue you want to speak about.
Yeah. Get your shit off.
So, I think this topic that I'm going to talk about is very important, and doesn't just affect one group. I mean, only one group. It mainly affects one group, but it affects all, and I feel like we need everybody's support to dismantle the bullshit that's going on. So let me get to it. So I'm just going to start off with a quote that the minority leader from Alabama said. And he said yesterday, "We raped women last night." And I feel like that was a pretty strong quote. And I know you guys are like, wow, like that's a strong statement to start. But let me get to it. But what happened yesterday was, I mean, it's not a shocker, but it was crazy. So let me just break it down. So a couple of days ago, Georgia, they passed a law, even though it's going to be set in 2020. They set a law, a bill that states that a fetus should be treated as a full person, so legal recognition. So for the women who have to carry the children, say if they need an abortion because of medical reasons, even though it's on the second or third term, which usually isn't likely, but things happen. Or if they miscarry, they could get life in prison. And especially since that's in Georgia, and if you do murder, most likely you get the death penalty. And also the doctors who perform it, they will also get charged for performing such and such a criminal act. But yesterday, yeah. So yesterday, Alabama, they just pushed their most strictest law, or the most strictest law so far in the United States. The governor, Kay Ivey, that white devil, she's challenging the Roe versus Wade, and she passes heartbeat bill. So basically, it's a complete total ban of abortion, no exceptions to rape or incest, and you cannot abort.
Because it's Alabama.
Yeah, you know, because it's Alabama, you gotta add that rape and incest. So. Yeah, if once the...
Probably the only place rape and incest still happen every day.
True. And everywhere, but... So 6 weeks, if your fetus, whatever the thing that's growing in your body is 6 weeks, you cannot do an abortion. And guess what, boys and girls, mainly boys, you find out once you're 6 weeks if you're pregnant. You cannot find out once you're 4 weeks or whatever. You have to find out once... You're 6 weeks, because that's when your hormones get in there, whatever. And today, even though it was on the hush because everyone's so worried about Alabama, Missouri also is passing a bill that's also doing a ban of abortion for 8 weeks. So you guys, this is crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy. Because most of the people that are passing these bills are white men. White men. Okay. White men. That is a problem. Yes, that is a huge problem, because they have these excuses about, well, we have morning after pills, we have condoms, we have all these things, and guess what?
So why are we regressing?
I don't know. And guess they don't even read reports. America. They don't read studies, because actually abortion is really at an all-time low. I have not heard of one person in my lifetime who has straight up was like, you know what? I'm just going to get an abortion just for the fuck of it. No, that is the hardest decision of your life. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what it is. Whether you are 12 and you just experimented with sex and you don't know what the hell you're doing, because they don't introduce sex education until you're like in high school. So you can be in middle school and, you know, you get introduced to sex because that's what we do. We're curious. Excuse me. They can experiment and they get pregnant, and they don't want to get in trouble by their family, because who knows what they're going to do. They don't have that access, and they usually need parents' permission to do all this bullshit. So there's a lot of fucking circuits that we have to go through as women in order to get through to that shit. So yeah, maybe we are older and an accident happened, you know? Maybe we are at a time. It's not, my point is, people, that it is not up to anybody except the person who is carrying that goddamn baby. It is up to them to make that decision. And it's so crazy that we are a United States of America, and we originally, or the white people, came from fucking England to motherfucking United States and colonized this shit because they wanted to separate themselves from the church, right? Church and state. That's what we cry about. Taxes, this. We don't want to be taxed. Blah, blah, blah. Taxation's death. Blah, 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 blah. And yet, and we have this whole First Amendment about freedom of religion, you know, expression, all that bullshit. That's what we cry about. And yet we have these governors and these congressmen and these senates trying to pass these goddamn bills that totally reflect what we are not trying to do and what we pride ourselves on not being. So how are we going to sit here and, even though we claim that we don't care if you're Muslim, we don't care if you're Jewish, whatever, why do we care that what a woman does with their body based on a biblical or a piece of literature? It is fucked up. There is science. We're in 2019, almost 2020, where there's scientific proof and there's reasons and exceptions on why women do this, and yet people just don't give a fuck, and they feel like, oh well, if it's a human being and God sees it as a human being, why should we kill it? Well, I don't know, because we already have so many fucks around shooting up schools and shit, and we have people, a population already that we can't even control, and you guys are sitting here trying to tell us that, oh, you can't have a baby because we want to, why can't you just adopt? Why can't you just put an adoption center? We already don't care about the people in adoption, which are the are minority. So, you know, we as black kids, brown kids, and poor kids, y'all don't even want those kids that are in the foster care because they're lost in that system. You don't even care about them. So why the hell would you make that suggestion if you yourself are not going to do that? So before I sign off, I just want to bring that to everybody's attention because... it's important, and it's important, and even though you may be pro-life and whatever, fuck you, sorry, we have two different ideas, I mean, I respect it, but at the same time, fuck you, because this is my body, this is not right, and the government should not control a person's body. I hope I don't sound like this crazy conspiracy person or crazy feminist person, but it's just about respect to someone's body, whether you're a man or you're a woman. You guys will, men will go crazy if we demanded men after a certain age to have a vasectomy. Men will go crazy. You know what I mean? So why would you guys think it's okay for you to dictate what we can do with our body because you feel like a fetus of 6 weeks is a person, which is not true. It's just fucking cells that are in our body that are growing to be a human being. You know what I mean? There's more that goes to that. And also, people just think that people are reckless and we just go to abortion, I mean, to the clinic just to get abortions for whatever. No, like I said, it's a hard decision to make. And if we close that access to those things, there are going to be children, teenagers, and adults doing that in the back alley and doing it with wire hangers and going to kill themselves. Either way, these abortions are going to happen. And we should actually have these clinics open and have people do it safely. So, sign off, guys. I don't want to, you know, bombard you with all this craziness, but I just want you guys to think about it because this is a war on women and this is government control on women. This is blatant. Like, it's in your face and it's not okay because you guys would not want the government to dictate your body. And I'm calling out men. I just want you guys to think about it. Whether or not you guys care about if a fetus is a person and whatever that is, you know, just think about the woman who has to go through those things because we have to own up to that. And it's fucked up for you to think, well, that is God's plan for somebody to rape a 12-year-old or rape whoever, for them to have to carry that child or incest or whatever, for them to have to face that tragedy that they had to deal with and that abuse that they had to go through, and then for them have to carry that on. It's just fucked up. So I just want you guys to really marinate on it, think about it, and talk about it because it needs to be talked about. And whether you're moms and sisters or friends, girlfriend, whatever it is, you know, this is about women's bodies and women's rights. This is more than just caring about the future of our children, because we obviously can tell that with our government right now, we don't care about the future. So thanks guys for listening.
Wow. That was amazing. I agree with most of what you said, but what I do want to add is, you know, obviously I remember my freshman year, I took a gender woman studies class, and that's kind of when I first started to, like, really get into feminism. I remember watching a video of basically, it was a movie, but it was basically about a woman in the 30s who had an accidental pregnancy, and she didn't even get raped. She just, you know, had a one-night stand, got pregnant, and she got an abortion with a coat hanger and literally just bled out. And the movie was over. Like, it literally, she died, and it was credits. It was, like, the most tragic thing for a Friday 11 a.m. class that I've ever experienced.
And it happens all the time. Like, it's people, most of the people who have performed abortions are women who already have families, and they're just like, look, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I have to, like, make this decision for my family that I have right now, and the person that's in my body, I don't want them suffering,
you know, by being an extra person, I'm stressed out. So they're making a sacrifice. And that's what just boggles me, because people just really think that when people decide to make abortions, they're just like, oh, I'm totally disregarding what I'm doing to the thing that's in me. Because no matter what, with a woman, I can't explain it to you men, but it's like, it's a thing that happens. And I know that I haven't experienced it because I've never went through that before, but I know that just...
Hold on. Like, I'm not trying to interrupt you or, like, mansplain or anything. Like, I'm just trying to add to the conversation. And so, you know, the other thing, you know, Kenny was there. We were there when this whole presidency happened. You know, there was the big women's march. You know, me, Kenny, Mancini, we went out there. You know, you guys were mostly covering it, but I was there to support.
You hooked us up with that one, the name of that hood restaurant.
That restaurant that had
El Tapia, yeah.
Yeah, which, by the way,
guacamole you cried. Much guacamole, he literally teared up.
Like, I teared up over guacamole. I was like, this could.
The point is, we knew something like this was going to happen, and now that it is happening, it's crazy, especially because some of the senators presenting the bills have actually had abortions himself, and our president, who's kind of against it, has most likely had multiple.
White, nasty white men.
But, and here's the distinction that I want to make. The same way it takes two people to make a baby, like, yeah, ultimately, I agree with you. It is on the woman because she's carrying it and it's her choice and all that. But I also don't want to downplay the impact that that decision has on the man and on the family.
Because child support court is, like, one of the, other than mass incarceration, child support is probably one of the biggest money rackets in this country.
But besides all that, whatever, I'm not even talking about that. The only thing I'm trying to say is, like, I completely agree with you. It is the woman's choice, but I also don't want to downplay the effect that it can have on men and on family dynamics.
That's why I said right before I said everything that this affects both men and women. And even though this is a woman, I'm saying, like, them carrying the fetus, whatever, that's a woman's choice, and what they do with it, it affects men as well, whether if they do make the decision or don't make the decision, you know? And that's why I say that men also play an important role, and they need to be informed about this because, you know, usually
it's traumatic.
It's traumatic for both people, you know. I mean, not just women. It's traumatic for men because then they realize that they're a child, they have a kid, and then they make that decision of what if, you know, that person makes the decision of having an abortion. They're like, damn, I could have had a child, and now she's taking that away from me. I don't have that choice. She has that choice. So it's a sense of they don't have that control or whatever that is. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it is traumatic for.
It's not even that. It's just like that thing that you're saying you feel on the inside. Like, it also happens in men. It's just men, they don't recognize it.
Right.
Until the baby is born and until they're holding it.
Right.
But it happens. So that's the only thing I want to say. But yeah, on that note, so I'll get to my rant. Pretty much the first thing I wanted to say, man. So I was having this conversation with a couple of my homies this week. You know, I've been going through a lot of stuff lately, but that's not new. Anyways, I was just telling them, man, I really miss that feeling of, like, you're so tired. You had a 2-hour workout. You're in hour 3 of practice. It's team. Your coach wants you to go, like, full speed. You need to go because if you don't score a touchdown, you have to run more hundreds after practice. And you can't stand up straight in the huddle because your legs are literally exhausted. Your brain is tired from all the X's and O's, and you have homework to do. And you literally don't want to be there. Like, you literally just want to go home, do your homework, work on your paper, whatever the case. And you line up, and the ball is high, and you literally run full speed, and you just knock the shit out of someone. And it's like, at the end of the day, like, I have nothing left, but I still have more than that bum. Like, I literally miss that feeling so much. Outside of that, the other point I wanted to make, man, and I think I've made this point before, but to me, man, friendship is crazy. And especially as you get older, it really changes. And to me, I think the biggest thing that I'm always learning about friendship is, to me, friendship isn't about, okay, I go to all your brunches and your birthdays and, like, I'm there every time you need me. Like, bro, that's like a girlfriend. Like, we don't need to be that needy. But, like, at the end of the day, man, if I ain't seen you in a year, 2 years, 3 years, 6 months, whatever the case, and I see you and it's just, like, no time has passed, like, to me, that's a real friend. Like, that's someone who it's not about them. It's not about what you can do for them. But it's just a matter of them supporting you. They're there for you, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of if you're present or not, regardless of if you're going through shit or changing or whatever the case. It's like they're just happy to see you. And it's like nothing's changed. And even if you've changed, they're still just happy to see you. Like, they're literally happy that you're still on this earth and that our paths have crossed, whether it's because we both stopped our lives and made it happen or just because it coincidentally happened. Regardless, like, that's a means friendship. And lastly, shout out to Kenny for finally taking that walk. He's got one more to do on Monday. I will be there, full air horns, booing the fuck out of you. But yeah, man. Last but not least, Kenny, go ahead. Your time to close it out. Can you actually, you know, make it timely? Not take 15 minutes.
I mean, what's more timely than me, like, graduating after all these years, after, like, all the setbacks? And it's weird, like, my mom, because I had Black grad on Sunday, Mother's Day, and, like, my mom just wouldn't stop crying. My sister wouldn't stop crying. And it kind of, like, it warmed my heart, because, like, I've been working, grinding, like, just tooth and nail for this moment to happen, and it finally does, and now I'm kind of just slowly realizing, like, oh shit, it's going down. Like, the dream is almost complete, or the mission is almost complete, I should say.
The mission is just starting.
This mission in particular, like, this mission in particular, the ending of the beginning of my story is almost, you know, it's almost over. And I've just been literally just thinking back, like, years. Like, I can remember being 18, sitting on a bed in a motel room, looking up at the ceiling, like, what the fuck am I going to do with my life? And, like, realizing college is attainable. Like, I have the skill. Like, I always knew after high school I needed to be in school. I just didn't know what I was going to do. And then it grew to, okay, I have a passion for this. I need to pursue it. I have a skill in this. I need to pursue it. And it just kept going. And, like, shout out to my classmates this semester. They're really dope. Especially my J350 class, Mark and Freddie. Those motherfuckers are hilarious. Like, we went to Chick-fil-A to get some food. We drank our shakes at Chick-fil-A, then took our food to Wendy's and got food in Northridge. And it was probably top five, one of the greatest fat boy moments of my life. Like, I actually had the least amount of food too. Like, I really, like, I don't know how, like, we didn't die
eating. You do look skinnier this week, I'm not gonna lie.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
No, like, I'm being dead ass. Like, bro, you really do. Maybe, like, it's because you didn't eat all day.
I mean, all day.
You're on that white girl diet. You want a beer? Is beer your dinner tonight?
After turning this 2000.
Cocaine work for dessert?
Yes. I'm not ruling anything out past Sunday. I'm going to be pretty fucked up. Especially when I have to go to summer school and I find out, oh, depending on the grades you got in your classes, your GPA reached a certain point to where, yeah, you don't even need to take another class. So hopefully, like, they recalculate my units and I'm good, and I gotta turn in this paper in like an hour, and I'm only on like 1,200 words, and writer's block is a bitch. But hey, hopefully it's the last 800 words of my undergrad. So there's that. But most importantly, I'm just thankful that I'm fulfilling. I gotta call it a prophecy, because on my grandfather's deathbed, he told me, he was like, "You're gonna go accomplish great things in life. You're gonna go to college. You're gonna graduate. Just look out for your mom and your sisters." Now, at the time, I only had one sister, so he apparently knew that, like, my mom, I don't know, like, people who are about to die, I guess, have some weird heightened sense of whatever, but, like, literally, a year after my granddad died, my little sister was born. So, I don't know, like, that has to be God's doing, because I can't really explain anything any other way. And the fact that, like, I was homeless at one point and living in motel rooms and all types of shit, like, dealing with the injury I had in high school and having to recoup and figure out what I was going to do, starting all over, the sundial bullshit, dealing with that again, coming back, paying my way back into school, paying my way for classes this year. This shit is not cheap. This shit is mad expensive, bro, like, my time, my money, my energy, my effort, my everything that I've put into this. And now that it's finally come, I honestly don't know how to feel. I probably won't know until they call my name and I hit the stage. Dead ass. But just know I'm going to be looking incredibly fucking sharp, because my sash is top five.
You need to hit the pins, bro. Because yeah, your shit was lopsided, bro. Fucking up your pictures.
It kept sliding off, but shout out to the homie
Raul.
That's
why you got to put pins.
Yeah, shout out to the homie Raul for pulling up and doing a photo shoot. And when I release those pictures on Instagram, y'all going to fucking lose y'all minds. Especially some of my homies like Pete and Mantine and Andrew. You're going to die at all the inside jokes that those pictures have.
Yeah, man. Just.
Yeah.
I know you're going to do a lot more great things than graduation, man. Enjoy your moment, but this is just the start.
This is just like, I'm ready for it to be over. Just like this bullshit, this fucking punk ass.
This is the engagement
essay that I'm typing and trying to finish, but writer's block sucks. But I'm gonna finish it and I'm gonna turn it in, and that'll be the fucking end of it.
All right, man. So before we close out,
oh yeah, shout out to Julian Edelman for getting his college degree after 13 years, and Avery Williamson.
Oh, yeah, we were going to shout that out, too.
Out of Kentucky. Yeah.
Good memory.
Linebacker for the Jets.
All right, so real quick, before we close it out, we do have someone who's been here in the audience, our boy Mark, Sports Talk with Mark, Saturdays, Good News Sports. Make sure you check it out.
With the pink windbreaker and the white cap.
Mark, you got anything you want to say real quick before we close out?
You got the Drake at the Hookah Lounge fit on. I respect that. Circa 2012 to 14.
I don't give a shit. He doesn't even care.
That's why you wear that in the Hookah Lounge. Yeah, you're right. Some random ass stripper on her lunch break talking about her life. Man, I'm telling on myself. Let me be quiet.
But yeah, man, shout out to Mark.
Bro, how many girls in Hollywood low-key be working at Playhouse? They just take breaks at hookah lounges. We're going to talk about hookah lounge culture. Do we want to do it? We can do that this summer. We can have it at a hookah lounge. But anyway, yeah, hit up the who's in the chat room talking shit.
But yeah, man, I don't know why my mic is going crazy. But yeah, Jackie said congratulations.
Thank you.
And Ryan said, "I threw so much shade at your knees, you look like a farmer wearing volleyball pads. Congrats to you."
Wow, the old head. Damn.
We
talked a lot of shit. Like me, my mom, one of my homies that was like, I was the unofficial roommate.
Yeah, bro, you low-key look like that disgruntled dad who just graduated and still hasn't sat down.
Damn, that's fucked up. With your
drunk-ass sash.
Yo, it was like five of us on a rooftop, like, bro, just talking shit.
Bro spent $400 on the sash and couldn't buy 99 cents pins to keep that shit straight.
I didn't spray it.
Come on, bro.
I didn't spray it yet. It's just been hanging up.
A safety pin, I mean.
I know. I still got to spray it, too, to get the wrinkle out.
Yeah. The Downy spray is like $6.
I'll get some. I'll get a safety pin.
You can even just put it in the shower, steam
That's
it.
That's what I was gonna do. I was gonna steam it.
Yeah. All right, man. On that note,
and I was like, no one cares about that shit.
On that note, you can't iron it because the embroidery.
That's what I told her.
It'll burn it.
She tried to iron the gown.
Oh, that's wrinkled. It just presses itself out.
That's what I told her.
Yeah, you gotta just put it in the shower. Anyways, I'm giving you tips because I'm preparing for my master's. Like, anyways, TDs_tangents on Instagram, on Twitter. You know what it is.
Cool
good
flex,
news.
Bro.
Good news radio station every Thursday, 8:30. Shout out to X Squad. Shout out to FPC Radio. Shout out to your favorite podcast app where you can also find this. On that note.
And pray for a nigga because I really need to bullshit 800 words to finish this essay.
We're out. Peace.
I'm struggling, y'all. Seriously.